Well, good morning. Welcome. Let me be at least the second one to welcome you to Bayside. We're glad you're here with us. As Pastor Tom said, we got a picnic today, and we hope you are going to be joining us. And let's just take as an example, this is your first time here. Well, join us today for a picnic out at Pattison Park. Or maybe you didn't even plan on going to the picnic, but have you seen the weather? Isn't it beautiful? We have a wonderful day. It's going to be a great day out at Pattison, so join us right after the service. Well, we'll have some coffee and fellowship. We can't get away from that. But then we're going to head on out, and it's going to be a barbecue and games. And so whether you planned on it or not today, whether it was a part of your plans, I think you're going to have a great day if you join us out at Pattison for the picnic. And if not, Pastor Walton is going to give you your money back, okay? He's even pulling out his checkbook, right? Everything is free. The whole deal is just a great free day. Parking is free and food and games and the whole work. So just join us. I think it's going to be a great day. We're glad you're here with us. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12, if you would. We are in the summer of truth. One of the things that we've been looking at over the month of June, we looked at truth within the home. And so we looked at some of those relationships. 1 Corinthians 12 is where we're going to be looking this morning, but we looked at the relationships in the home over the last month, parents and husbands and wives and children, and now we're going to be stepping back one step or out maybe and looking at relationships over the next month or so within the body, within the church, within the body, and we're going to be kind of getting in and deep and looking at some of these things. And you know that word for church, which is the body, comes from this passage of Scripture from 1 Corinthians 12. And so let's read 1 Corinthians 12. We'll start in verse 12. Surrounding this is talk of spiritual gifts and offices and different things. And so if you want to look at this in context, that's the context. You can do that later this week. We're going to focus on this middle section of this chapter, really looking at church as the body. Let's read through this quickly, and then we're going to look at four different sections and kind of how that applies to the relationships within the body here. 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, God through Paul is giving us an analogy that the body of Christ, our church, is like a body, one body, many parts. Okay, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. It's the picture of the body of Christ. This is here at Bayside, but it's also the bigger body of Christ in our community and in the world. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, feet talk in this particular example, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body. That would not make it any less a part of the body, and that's true. And if the ears talk also, should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body. That would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? It's a good question. If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arrange the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. An eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. It's looking at this from a little different angle. Nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. We're needing each other. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And on our unpresentable parts, they're treated with greatest modesty. But our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body. We are one body, but we are not divided. No division. But that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. Let's open in a little word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. God, we do thank you for the beautiful weather, the sun that is shining. Lord God, and we would ask that you would just shine down in this place, beyond these walls, God, shine down into our hearts. Lord, reveal your truth. Your Spirit, God, has promised that. So Spirit, be with us here, revealing truth to us, working deep inside those regions of us that only you can work in. And we invite that today, dear God. Lord, may these not just be my words. I'm really sincerely asking that you would speak today. God, if this is my work, it will pass away and burn up. If it's your work, it will last for eternity. And so we're asking you, God, to do your work in your way this morning, in your people, your body, the church. We love you, dear God. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. So this whole truth series, what we have done is we've looked at places where maybe culture has one bit of thinking and God's word has another bit of thinking. So I started thinking, what is culture's view of the church? And how many different views, ways do people look at or evaluate church, religion, or Christianity? And I think there it goes across the gamut, but if we were going to just put this into three different categories, we'd say people would look at church maybe in a positive but not relevant way, maybe a neutral way, and then maybe a negative way. So let's look at all three of those real quick. Culture, looking at the church as positive, but maybe not relevant or beneficial. Maybe that church is a group of nice people. Maybe it's filled with nice people. Maybe they're even sort of humanitarian and philanthropic. They give, and that's a good thing. And maybe they think of it, yeah, they've helped my friends, or they've helped my relatives, but I have other things going on. Or maybe you've heard people say, and I've had people say this to me, you know, church is a good place, and I know I should go there, and I'm planning on going there because it's good. But, and then they fill in the blank. What are they saying? It's positive, but it's not relevant, and it's not beneficial enough. I think there's people in our culture that look at it that way. How about neutral? What is church? People who are just neutral. Well, it's just a building. That's a building, some new, some old, some in need of some construction, right? We can fall into that trap. Church is not a building. Church is people. Or maybe it's a group of people who found something that's good for them. God bless them. They found it. It's good for them. Maybe it's a country club without a golf course that's open on Sundays and Wednesdays. A little bit like a country club. Or maybe it's a civic or a social group. You know, they don't really do much. I haven't seen them doing much, but they probably don't hurt us. That's neutral. There's some people who have a neutral view of the church. And then I think, and I don't believe this is a majority, but I think it's a vocal minority, who are negative about the church, right? Bunch of hypocrites. Ever heard that before? Yeah. Intolerant, judgmental, they're hateful, they're mean, these church people. They're outdated, they're religious, they're fanatics, they blindly follow a bunch of to-dos and not to-dos. Maybe the scientific crowd thinks, well, they're just unlearned. They just haven't really thought things through. They're not really understanding science. I've seen a lot of that on the internet. Or maybe they're naive, foolish people who don't get the real world. There's a guy named Jesse the Body Ventura, and the body has a thought on the body. And I found that really curious that he called himself the body and he's speaking of the body. Well, anyway, the 38th governor of the state of Minnesota put it this way: organized religion is a sham and a crutch for weak-minded people who need strength in numbers. And he was quoted multiple times by saying that. Organized religion. And I thought, you know, organized religion might be a sham, but my Jesus is different. Organized religion is a sham and a crutch for weak-minded people who need strength in numbers, that quoted by the body. I think our culture maybe also struggles with church because it's a community. It's a community of people. We're going to get back to Jesse's quote maybe a little bit later. But I think we struggle with community because we've become very individualistic and very independent. And I think this bit of thinking works its way into the church quite significantly. We are do-it-ourselves kind of people, aren't we? Do it myself. We love autonomy. I'm the king of my own kingdom. Not part of a body. I'm the king. We don't want help from others. If we need it, and we do at times, we don't like that we need it. We don't mind giving it, but we don't like to receive it. We have our own yards, and this plays out in my neighborhood, in my house. We have our own yards, we have our own fences in our own yards, and we have our own stuff within our own fences within our own yards. Every single person has their own car or cars, their own lawnmowers, their own snowblowers. We don't like to borrow to people, and we don't like to be borrowed from. Isn't that true? We'd rather buy it ourselves or give somebody a little money so they can buy it so they don't have to inconvenience me. We've become very individualistic and very independent. This hasn't been the case for all centuries and throughout all time. And even in the church, I think we've cultivated, we've bought into this fact that we need extreme independence. These tendencies can work their way right into our body, right into here if we're not careful. And does God's word push us towards independence and individualism? Not so sure. We're going to look at this passage from 1 Corinthians 12 in terms of the body. If you're new this morning, we're going to start filling in some blanks, and we have a little green piece of paper. We're going to look at these four sections from 1 Corinthians 12. The first thing you can fill in is the body is different, not divided. The body is different, not divided. Let's read that first section starting in verse 12 again. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one, so it is with Christ. Again, we are one body with many different members or parts. For in one Spirit, that's what joins us together, is the Spirit of God that dwells in us after we put our trust in Jesus. For in one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. You can see the differences here. We have difference in nationalities, differences in occupation, differences in place in society. And we have that here. And I love that. We have people from different nationalities, different backgrounds, different countries, different cultures, different socioeconomic statuses. We have people who are making a ridiculous amount of money and people who are making very little. And we come together as one. And we're one. And we're brothers and sisters, not related to the stuff that separates people in a culture. And all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. We are different, but we're not divided. We are many, but we're one. God gave us these wonderful, intricate bodies to give us a picture of how we are to operate as one. Our bodies have thousands of different parts, but we're still one body. Here's a few of those thousands of parts. I'm not giving you every part, but here's a couple. We have our heart, our lungs, our arteries, our veins. We have our teeth, our tongue, our lips. We have our esophagus, our stomach, our liver, our gallbladder, and our pancreas. We have our thyroid, our hair, our nails, our eyes, our ears, our nose, our tonsils, and our spleen. We have over 300 muscles. Some are bigger, some are larger. We have ligaments and tendons. We have 206 bones and cartilage. We have our brain, our spinal cord, our trachea, our lungs, our kidneys, and of course, the infamous appendix. We have unique, many, 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 many parts. And all of those parts are different in their function. They're different in the way that they look. They're different parts, but they come together to form one body. Olympic athletes, if you ever see them, they have all of their parts working in unison, working together. Their parts of their bodies are focused on one thing, and it's awesome to watch. Because they've trained their bodies to work together as one unit for a goal. Parts are different, but they never work against each other. Now, we may struggle in the body here at Bayside and in the greater body with things being different, but yet still good. We may struggle with different. We all have different gifts. We all have different talents. We all have different views, dispositions, opinions, and that's good. That's a good thing that we're different. We're not trying to make everybody here look the same. That's not our goal. We can be individual. We can be diverse in a lot of ways. We have different hobbies. We dress differently. And that's a good thing. We can have differences. This text brings it that the body is different and can be individually different and yet can still be one. The only way we want to be the same is we all want to look, talk, and act like Jesus. Spiritually, we are one. One Spirit, we are one. We need to be different and embrace those differences, but God's Word always as the foundation. We don't differ in our interpretation of God's Word. God's Word is truth, and so we stand on truth as one. But within that, we are very, very different, and we can expect people's differences. We also, though, may struggle seeing ourselves as different, but we also may struggle seeing ourselves as one unit, because physically, we're not one. I look around, and there's a whole bunch of different people here. You're different. We're all different. We're different from each other. So we struggle with seeing all of our different, this group, as one, because physically, we're not. We need to start looking at the body through the eyes of Christ. We need to see our brothers and sisters the way He sees us. Then we will see each other as one. If we don't see each other as one, we'll never have proper relationships within the body of Christ. We can't. Only when we see each other as one unit working together for a purpose will we ever, ever truly be one and be the Olympic athlete for Jesus, His glory, that we want to be. We're different parts of the body. Let's look at the second portion of this text. What are some barriers? Barriers to different but not divided. These are internal obstacles. These are maybe personality traits. These are some general tendencies that would cause us to not come together as one. The first tendency is this: I feel insignificant and insecure. I feel insignificant and insecure. I am not a part, is the way we would look at this. If you don't feel a part of the body here or somewhere, this section is for you. Because God intended every single one of us to feel like we're a part of the body. And if you don't feel like you're a part, focus here. 1 Corinthians 12, let's read verses 15 to 20. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. What's going on here? The foot, which is lower, is looking up at the hand, which is higher, and saying, because I'm not that higher in some way, I'm not a part of the body. I'm lower. I'm not there, so therefore, I don't fit. I don't belong. I'm not a part of the body. Verse 16, and if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. Now the ear is looking at the eye. If you had to lose one of your senses, either your hearing or your sight, I asked a few people this question, which one would you lose? You'd lose your hearing, wouldn't you? You'd choose eyesight over hearing. I believe almost every single one of us, if we really thought about it, would. So the ear is saying, I know that the eye is preferred. I know there's a preference to the eye over the ear. And so I'm not as preferred as somebody else in this body. Therefore, I'm not a part. I'm not a part. I'm not as high as that person, and I'm not as preferred as that person. Therefore, I don't fit. Then he's going to speak to the ear. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? So if everybody was an eye, if everybody had that gift, where would the sense of hearing be? Mr. Ear, you have a part. We need your hearing. No matter what you think, we need you. If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell? Now, he never even brought up the nose. But Paul's bringing up the nose because sometimes when we focus on others, we're really not focusing on where we should focus. Use your gift. You know, there's other people too. There's not only eyes. There's ears, there's noses, there's teeth. There's a whole plethora of parts that we need. Don't just focus on yourself. Don't just focus on that eye. Now, what if you had to lose either your hearing or your smell? Which one would you choose? You'd keep your hearing. Most of us would, because smell can be both positive and negative, can it? And so what he's saying is, you know what, you may look and say, you're not as preferred as an eye, but compared to a nose, you're probably a little more preferred. So don't think that you're nothing. We all have a place. Every single person has a place. Don't think your part is insignificant. But as it is, verse 18, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. It's not our choosing. God arranges all the parts in the way that they fit. It's his choice. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. So when could this sense of insignificance come up? I think it could be a natural disposition. Some of us just naturally feel like we don't fit, or we're not special, or we don't have a part. That could be a natural disposition. Eeyore. Or there may be a history of rejection in your past. You may have been rejected in your past by someone, either an organization or a person, and that rejection will make you pull back and say, I'm not a part. And there may be a defense mechanism guarding you from being hurt again. And maybe you've been hurt in church, because you know what? Church produces a lot of hurts, doesn't it? It does. But that doesn't mean we don't need to be a part of the body. If we've been hurt, we jump back in, because you know what? God created us to be a part. And I understand church hurt to some degree. So it's maybe natural for certain parts to feel insignificant. Some areas of service feel lower. Some areas of service feel less valuable. Some areas of service are completely unseen behind the scenes. But we can't let this make us feel like we don't have a part. Every single one of us has a part to play at the body. You may think, well, I'm not a pastor. I don't stand up there with a little piece of plastic on my ear. Heard one of the pastors say, that little piece of plastic on your ear. Or maybe I'm not a deacon, or I'm not a musician, or I'm not a ministry leader, I'm not a teacher, I'm not public. You know what? All of the parts are needed. Every single part is needed. Every part for this body to operate in the way that it should. Don't think you don't have a place here. If you're not currently serving, there is a place for you. Pastor Tom said in the bulletin this week, we asked you not to turn in your connection card. Grab your bulletins if you would. If you are currently not serving, or maybe you're serving but it's time to change your area of service, we did the connection card this week. You can rip it out if you'd like. Right on the connection card, we listed just a ton of different opportunities, places that you can serve. And I'm not going to go through every one of these, but I would really encourage you to go through these at some point. Because you know what? We don't just need 90% to be the best body for God's glory that we can be with Christ as our head. We need 100%. That means everybody has a part to play. Maybe you've been playing a part for a while and you're just tired. Well, that's fine. You can take a break from that part, but find another part to play. We were created to serve. We've been given gifts. We've been given skills. We've been given energy. This isn't a message on gifts and those type of things. It's surrounding it in 1 Corinthians 12. But we need to know that God has given us some things that will help build up the body of Christ. And we all need to be playing our part. So look at this. Evaluate this. Not right now. No, you see, now I got you. What am I going to do? Look at this and turn this in. There's little pink boxes in the back. Did you know that the human body is the only machine that gets better with use? Have you thought about that? Every other machine that's ever been created deteriorates with use. Ask my car. There's not a machine on the planet except the human body that gets stronger the more we use it. If we want the body here at Bayside to be the best it can be, we need all of the parts working. It's going to make us stronger, the best it can be. Let's look at this second tendency. If the first tendency is I feel insignificant and insecure, the second tendency is, let's flip this coin, I feel independent and arrogant. I don't need you. Now we flip it over and people who are in some of those positions that are maybe more seen can look down upon others. Let's read 1 Corinthians 12 again, verses 21 to 24. The eye, now we have the part of the body that sees or maybe is seen, cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head, upper, higher, preferred, to the feet, I have no need of you. What's going on here? The eye is looking down at the other parts and being pretty convinced of his eye-ness and pretty happy with his place. And he's thinking, wow, I'm very seen and I can see and I'm quite spectacular. Let me tell you about my spectacularness. And he's looking down upon the other parts of the body and thinking, I could do this by myself. He's getting independent and he's getting arrogant. Verse 22, on the contrary, that's not true. The parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. That word indispensable means very needed and even crucial. Crucial. On those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And on our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, or at least they should be treated with greater modesty. Which our more presentable parts do not require, but God has composed the body. God combined us together as one, again, as he saw fit, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it. Why would someone naturally look down? Why would they have this disposition of independence and arrogance? I think it could be a natural disposition within some people again. The woe is me now becomes, as we've said, the wow is me. It's not woe is me, it's wow is me. Some people are naturally, they just think a lot of themselves, they struggle with pride. Okay, I'm sorry. They may enjoy feeling capable of doing things on their own. Maybe they like that. Maybe they are very capable of doing things on their own. And this personality type, this disposition, maybe would lead someone to be a leader. And that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. God created different parts of the body and he organized them and put them in the areas as he saw fit. In church and in life, there's order, there's responsibility, there's positions of authority. We understand that. That's a reality. Some positions, though, may naturally seem above others. Now, God flips it. Jesus flips it. The greatest will become the servant. But it may seem from a human standpoint that some are above, may be seen as more important. For those people, they could think, I'm above, I don't need you. Arrogance and independence. We must understand that God gives the greater honor to the lower parts. In fact, God gives the greatest honor to those parts that are humble in their service. And we should too. In Christ and in his church, we are not independent, we are codependent. The church, as according to Scripture, is one of codependence. We need each other. We need each other. Not codependence in the way that our culture has defined it in a negative way. Codependence in terms of for us to be the body of Christ that we were meant to be. I need you, you need you, you need you, you need me, I need you. We need each other. We can't do this by ourselves. We are codependent. Yesterday afternoon, I was in the library and I was just working on the last little parts of this message, and Craig came in, and Craig is he's our vice president in charge of custodial services. I just gave him that title. Craig is our janitor, and Craig was putting his last minute touches on the building and on cleaning the building, and it was smelling so nice. And it was looking so good. We've had construction all week, and there was extra dust and extra dirt. And Craig came in, and as I was sitting there thinking about this very thing right here, I thought, you know what? This is just two dudes playing their part. That's all it is. Both needed. Because if Craig didn't come in, you wouldn't be happy right now. The bathrooms wouldn't smell like they smell. There wouldn't be paper towels. The place wouldn't be clean. It wouldn't look nice. We need each other, and God would say the greatest honor he's going to bestow on those parts that are unseen. Craig and I were talking about the picnic today and needing to get the grill out to Pattison Park, and we called the guy, and he said, yeah, I'll do it. And I said, Craig, do you know who this is? And he said, you know, I don't even know if I know who that is. And this guy, I asked him if I could use his name this morning, and he said, no. I'm going to talk to him about authority right after the service. That's next week's sermon. I'm kidding. I'm totally joking. But this guy, he's behind the scenes, and there are people behind the scenes, Don and Jane Treacle. I guess I didn't ask them. I'll ask their permission later. They're going to take off early and go start grilling. Behind this, there's people who the world would say, well, that one's above, that one's below, and that one's behind the scenes. And God's word says we need them all. We need every single person, 100% playing whatever role they can play to be the most effective, the best body that we can be. We all have a purpose. We all have a place to fit. Church is not Sunday morning from 9:15 to 10:30. Church is the body. Just because you come from 9:15, that's not all church was meant to be. Please, no, we need you. You have something inside of you that is unique to you, that God crafted you with, fearfully and wonderfully made you, put you here so that you could use those things that are deep welling up inside of you for the building up of the body of Christ. This is not the extent. In fact, this is just the start. We need, all of us need to be working. And if something is stirring up within you to think, you know what, Mark, I wonder if I could do this. Come and talk to me. Please. Let's get all of the body working in these places that God has just kind of motivated us and crafted us for. And if you don't know what that is, we put a great resource in today's sermon notes. It's a book called Now Discover Your Strengths. And if you've never taken that, it's a book that turns into an online test, and it's a wonderful way to figure out how God has hardwired you and I, how we can fit into the body. The staff has all taken it. It's been a tremendous blessing for us. This is 100%. Let's look at the final portion of Scripture. This is the result of different, not divided. We're going to close with this. The result of different, not divided, 25, verse 25, that there may be no division in the body. This is just interesting. That word division is the same Greek word that he used for the temple curtain being divided into two. The temple curtain is symbolic of Christ's what? Body that was torn in two on the cross for our sin. Christ died, his body was torn in two so that we could be one. Christ's body became two, divided, split, torn, rent in there so that we could come together as one. One with him, one with each other. That's just cool. But that the members have the same care for one another. We're going to talk about that word care. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now, you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. I want you to focus on a couple words: care, suffering together, and rejoicing together. There are three benefits that I've seen it, three natural outcomes to becoming a part of the body of Christ. I think the first one leads to the next two. What's the first benefit? General or genuine concern. The first benefit is that there is genuine concern and care for each other. I have seen and experienced this with my family. I have seen and felt the general concern, the care for you as the body, for me and my family. I've heard stories of this happening all over. The body caring for the body. Making a random phone call because somebody comes into your mind. Going and visiting somebody who's sick or who hasn't been out for a while. Sending a quick email saying, I'm just praying for you. Just thinking about you, wondering how you're doing. There is a general state of concern and care when you integrate into a body. And there should be. There should be. Second benefit, I think these next two are the pictures of what genuine concern looks like. Genuine comfort. Remember, when one suffers, they all suffer together. We don't go through trials alone, and we shouldn't. This is an amazing benefit that when the body is working the way the body works, we suffer together. When one of the members suffer, when you hurt, others will pray. We have a prayer chain. If you're hurting, if something happens, send an email, make a call, and the prayer chain goes out. And then people start praying. I try to pray for every one of those prayer chain ones that I get, and I know you do too. And then some people will take the proactive step and say, you know what, I'm going to call them, or I'm going to bring them a meal, or I'm going to help them, or I'm going to see what I can do for them. That's the body being the body. You ever stub your toe? You ever stub it real hard? When we first got married, my wife and I, she had a real problem. Where every time, and I used to stub my toe a lot, every time I would stub my toe, she'd get the giggles. And that'd get me even more mad than the stub 9 times out of 10. That was last month. Okay, you ever stub your toe? That was just a little venting. See, it's good. Sometimes you got to just vent a little. You ever stub your toe? And what do you do when you stub your toe? Oh, right? Your whole body hurts, so one part of the body tries to comfort the other. You ever slam your finger with a hammer? Yeah, and what do you do? Well, you try to, first of all, you try to not say anything. And then you give it one of these. What are you doing? A part of your body is trying to comfort another part of your body that is hurting. And if you were flexible enough, you'd do it with your toe. You'd stick your toe in. That's the truth. What is that? That is genuine comfort. A part of the body trying to help and comfort a different part of the body that's hurting. And when one of the parts of the body hurt, the whole body hurts together. And then some of the parts of the body, like those hands and those lips, they have that extra compassion and mercy, and they go the extra step, and they say, oh, it's going to be okay. Oh, it's going to be okay. That's the parts of the body. Not every part of the body is going to do that, but certain parts of the body have that motivation welling up within them. I got to do something. They got that in them, and God created us that way. So when one suffers, all suffer together. How about the third benefit, as I see it, is genuine cheer. Genuine cheer. We will be joyful for others' success and others' victories within the body. Did you realize that being part of the body can make you a more joyful person? Did you realize that? That being part of the body should make you a more joyful person, because you're not just getting your own joy, you're getting the joy of the body. So that when the body experiences something great, woohoo! We all get to experience something great. We have something on our website called our Praise Wall. I'm looking at that thing almost every single day. If you haven't been on it, go on our website. There's a praise wall that says, encourage someone today. It's a way to write a praise. When something good happens in your life, when something really good and positive, even if it's just little, put it on the praise wall. What is that doing? That's allowing the body to all rejoice together. We are meant to celebrate together. And the more we get our mind around this fact that we're many, but we're not just many, we're one. We are one. We'll have comfort in our trials and we'll have rejoicing when others rejoice. The body of Christ, His church, here at Bayside, in our community and around the world, is one group. One Spirit, one baptism, one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this body must see ourselves as many, as different, but as one. Let's be different, never divided. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh God, we thank you. We thank you that you gave us this picture, God, of how we are to live in relationship with one another. God, the truth about the relationship within the church is that we're many, we're different, but we're one. God, forgive me for my individualistic attitudes. Forgive me, God, for wanting to be independent. God, forgive me for at times not having the concern and care for the body here that I know I should. And forgive us, God, for that. But Lord, motivate us. May this be something that motivates us, dear God, to action, to love in action, to concern, to care, to rejoicing with those within the body who rejoice. God, help us to be one. To be one. We love you, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.